Well, thanks for joining us this morning at LifePoint Online. You can see this morning that I am blessed to have a number of folks from across our campuses who are with us today as we've jumped into this labels series. One of the applications early on in the series is that during the month of May, we are going to devotionally read through the Gospel of Luke together. I'll talk a little bit more about the hows of that later on, but I've asked some folks to join us today just to give you some perspective about our devotional lives. Like, what does it look like? Is it cookie cutter? Is it exactly the same? I think you're going to find out that it's probably not. But how we engage God's word and allow that to spur our hearts to pray back to him. So all of you, thanks for being with us. And I am going to start by having you guys introduce yourselves. And Cindy, you are the rose among thorns up here, so I'm going to have you start with the introduction, and then we'll kind of come this way.
My name is Cindy Kelber, and I go to the Delaware Life Point.
I'm Aaron Newell, and I attend the Marion campus.
I'm Brian Myers, and I attend the Lewis Center campus.
I'm Pierre Bagenda, and I attend Lewis Center campus, too.
I'm Sean Russell, and I attend the Westerville campus.
Yeah, thanks, guys. So the first question, I kind of want you guys to just give a description of what you feel like your devotional life looks like. So as you approach God in the context of his word, what does that look like for you? What does it feel like for you? What are things that maybe you've learned along the way, tweaks that you've made that have been helpful? And Cindy, why don't we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, first off, I have not arrived, that's for sure, and I'm growing every day. But in 77, my husband became a Christian, and we were both learned through the Bible radio with J. Vernon McGee on the Bible bus, and we
yes,
went.
Yes, J. Vernon McGee?
That's right.
Oh, that's
he
good.
He was farming at the time. He would come in at lunchtime, and we would sit down and go through the Bible, and we did that two times through with him, and that started my love for going through the Bible like that. Now, I was excited that we're doing this series on Luke, and we're going to be journaling because that's what my husband and I do. We get up in the morning, and we're going through Mark, and we take four or five verses, and we both read it, and then we write down in journal what we feel that God is speaking, what he's telling us. And it has helped because with the cross reference, and it just helps to see how the Bible all flows together and how God's speaking to us and its truth, and it's how we get to know him. And there's a lot of good Bible commentaries out there, but basically just the pure word of God and going through his word has helped me to grow deeper in what I've learned. So
you guys get up in the morning together, mm-hmm. you both read a similar passage of scripture, mm-hmm. and if I understand what you're saying, you in a sense in your journal, you kind of write it with the application to your life. What do I sense God saying to me from this text?
First, we write down what we feel that God is, what it's saying, and we read the same verses, four or five of them, and then we write what we feel it's speaking to us, and. Mm-hmm. And any questions we might have, and how we can cross-reference, and like in Mark, it takes us back to Matthew, and even into the Old Testament, and how that helps point us to Christ. And so it's really good to get into.
Yeah. So in the context of Cindy saying that, so we have provided the Jesus Bible. Journal, the NIV for the Gospel of Luke. For everyone who's been at our campuses in person, they could pick one of these up or go to the YouVersion app. And we're going to go through Luke Explained. So in the month of May, we're going to do exactly what Cindy described to you. We're going to read through. So when you look at this Gospel of Luke, there are journaling pages in here. So you can do exactly what she and Dennis are doing in the mornings together. And just so you can kind of have this awareness of the things that God has said to you in previous days and what he continues to say to you. So if you haven't been here in person, but you want to go on this journey with us, just go to wherever you buy books online. And again, it's the Jesus Bible Journal, the NIV for Luke, and you can join us as we read through, pray through the Gospel of Luke devotionally in May. We're going to go 6 days a week starting on May the 2nd, so starting tomorrow. We'll go 6 days a week, take Sundays off as we meet and gather here together. That'll land us on May the 28th, and then we'll celebrate on May 29th together, having gone through the whole Gospel of Luke. How about one of you, other guys? What do you do in your devotional time?
Well, for me, it's not as clear-cut. I don't have the opportunity. I guess I do have the opportunity, but most mornings I go to work. I have 12-hour shifts, so my devotion is basically listen to praise and worship at my workplace, which is a huge blessing. I get to play the music, and it's a witness to my coworkers of who I am. But the mornings I don't work, my wife and I both are involved with two different Bible studies. We lead one, going through the book of Revelation right now, so we both do the study of Revelation, and we kind of bounce back and forth between Old Testament and New Testament. But we can do that together and have the same questions and time to spend together with what God's revealed to us through His Word. And then we do another study through Bible Study Fellowship, which is another scenario where we get together with a group of men, and she does it with women. We'd read through, we're going to be doing the People of the Promised Land. So it's just an opportunity for us to dive deep into the Word, understanding who God is and how to apply that to our lives.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate what you're saying about incorporating worship into your own personal devotional life. So I think sometimes we think about that only in the context of gathering and singing together on Sundays. But that's been for me personally over the last 10 years. Maybe the thing that has impacted me the most is having the freedom to sing some of the things, the truths that we sing back to God in a personal way, and not just, and I love that we do it in a corporate way, mm-hmm. but doing that in a personal way. I think it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, echoing just what said before, like for me personally as well, I do like sing and like read my Bible. Ideally, I want to do it like every morning, but then sometimes it's just like too rough to wake up when I have like long day before. So I'm trying to like do it like before I sleep, but you know, yeah, it's like sometimes I like skip a day without do any devotional, but you know, I know that God is still love me, and then I'm trying to like keep like doing it because I know it's not for me pleasing God, but it's helped me go through my day when I do my daily devotion.
For me, I think I've gone through different seasons. When I first became a believer, I can remember, you know, I actually didn't realize growing up that you could actually read the Bible for yourself. The church that I went to, you know, someone picked out passages and interpreted for us. So it was really eye-opening for me once I did have a relationship with Christ that I could read it for myself. I started in the Gospel of Luke, and I just felt like words were, you know, pouring off the page, and I just devoured it every night. Now, being a dad of three and taking care of my father and having a full-time job, I'm very, very busy. And, you know, it's harder to find, it's just harder to find set time. And I have found that in the parking lot before work, as I pull into work, I really want to set my mind on God before I walk in and interact with people. So I use the YouVersion app on my phone. And one of the things that I have found great about using the app on your phone is you can switch between versions. So I like to read out of the NIV, but after I read a passage, I love to switch to the Message version just to give me a different perspective, and it's almost like its own commentary.
Yeah, I appreciate what Eugene Peterson has done in the paraphrase of the Message. So a few years ago, I think I mentioned this at church last week, but I did my devotional time for a couple of years, just worked my way through the Message, and I found it to be incredibly insightful, understanding that, yeah, it's not a translation, but it becomes, in a sense, a commentary, right? I'm on the Word. He did a great job. He did a great job with it.
So, you know, my routine when I first came into the faith, it was very sporadic as far as my devotionals is gone. But over the past few years specifically, I found myself looking at the Word and seeing the guidance of that. And then Mark, it talks about Jesus rising early in the morning and going out when it's still dark before everybody else to spend time with the Lord. And I've really started my days that way, and it's really impacted my life in such a positive way because it puts me in the right mindset. It puts me in the right frame. It reminds me who I am to Him. And it just, it's been beautiful from that experience, and it's given me an opportunity to read more of the Word. And I do that kind of before my family's up, so I have that quiet time. But then it's also been really a blessing for me because now my wife and I do a devotional in the evening where right now we're kind of going through Daniel. But it's just been a blessing to sit there and to start off my day in the right like state of mind, the right viewpoint, and knowing, you know, that I have an awesome Savior that's there for me and that I can always rely on Him. And it's just been just so much like food for me just to sit there in the Word and just having that confidence. And more than anything else, just going through the day with total peace, knowing that no matter what comes at me, God's got me and I'm in a good spot. So
the one thing, or I should say not the one thing, but one thing that I think what you've heard is there's a breadth of approaches, right? It's not one way. Everyone has to do it like this. But what I think you've seen here is like, well, there's some incorporation of music and there's some difference in place, like doing it at work, like before you get out of your car, because that's something that you do regularly, consistently, or you and Dennis getting up and doing that together, or doing it, you know, before all your family and kids get up, and right? So there's that kind of intensity of focus between you and the Lord in your relationship. So I think the number one thing when I talk to believers about what is a step that you wish that you could take, what's the toughest thing for you when it comes to Christianity, by far and away, and it's not even close, is this issue. It is, I wish I had a more consistent relationship. I wish I was more consistent in going to God every day, reading His Word. I wish I understood the Bible. I wish I could figure out what God was saying to me. So talk about what your perspective is like now that you've got some of these patterns in your life. And if you could talk to yourself 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago about the importance of spending time with God in His Word and the difference that it's made in you, maybe that's a story that you want to share about, hey, here's how that impacted me in this particular circumstance, or maybe in a way that it's helping you or helped you read your own heart in a different way that's affected your relationships with others or your relationship with God. How do you sense that it's made a difference? And if you could put it all in reverse, what would you go back and tell yourself?
Okay. You want me to go first? Okay. Well, for me, I'd have to go back 50 years because I'm older than all of you. So I now know that in order for God to use you and to have peace like you were talking about, you have to go deeper into the Bible and be in His Word and listen, you know, to good, godly things on the radio, praise music, what you put in your mind, you will think on. And the more you get to know Him, and you know that He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that, to me, is a piece that I lean on. But I guess you're going to go through valleys. It's not ever going to be on, you're not going to be on the plateau all the time. So when you are rooted in God's Word and you know Him personally, you'll be able to get through the valleys easier. It's not going to be real easy, but it'll be much easier when you are grounded in His Word. So that's the main thing I've found. And I just, you know, I pray that people can see, I don't really care about what people think about me. I want them to see Christ in me more. As the closer I get to Him, the more I want them to see Him in me and not me, because they won't like me.
I think that's probably not true, no. But I understand what you're saying. I do think there's going to be a tendency for folks to watch this morning and for you to say, well, you know, the people up on the stage up there, they're like super saints, right? Like you guys, you know, like you could, Sean could peel back the flannel, and like there's a big S on your chest, right, or a big J, right, on your chest, and to say, well, they're just more disciplined than me. They're just, and I think it's important for us to say, you know, one of the core values of our church is gospel identity, right? That we're all flawed, we're all messed up, we're all sinful, and I appreciated, Cindy, what you said about those peaks and valley moments, and clinging to Christ in those valley moments makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. How about you guys?
Yeah, I would say for me, similarly, I'm doing a study on Psalm 119. Our life group is, and one way it describes the Word of God in there is a blanket for your soul. And I think a perspective that I've had recently is, you know, when you look at Scripture and its purpose, it's really a love story to help us understand who God is, how much He loves us, what He's done for us in the work of Jesus on the cross. Whereas I think earlier, I kind of viewed it as a list of do's and don'ts. While there are things that, you know, we look to the Bible for to understand how we should act and things we should do and not do, a lot of times I feel like that led me early on to be kind of internally focused and focus on my shortcomings, versus, you know, really looking at the Word of God as, you know, something that can lift our gaze and focus on who God is and how much He loves us, versus what we're doing wrong. So
I think that you speak to that issue, like the default mode of the human heart, right, is our performance. Like, even when we come to Christ, that broken humanity in us is going to come down to, it feels like, how good am I doing? So even reading the Bible and spending time with God kind of feels like a contest. Like, you're like, well, I'm doing better than some people and not as good as some people, because we default to the do's and don'ts. And I think what we want to communicate this morning is that, it, you know, the breadth of the folks who sit on this stage are just everyday people doing exactly what you're doing at home. You have this deep, latent desire to please God and be connected to Him. And yeah, there's some discipline connected to doing that consistently on a regular basis, but that's the motivation, is to please Christ, to please God, to be grateful inside the context of a love relationship because of what He's done for us. So the Bible says the love of Christ constrains us. And so when you read that, when you read Paul's words there, it's like, well, what does that mean, the love of God? Is that God's love for me or my love for God? And the answer is yes, that because He loved us, right, He not only deserves, but we want to give Him our love in return. That's a good word.
Similar to that, it was my journey started when I was almost 30. So I started later in life. And I dove into the Word trying to figure out how God could love a person like me. You know, going through all my shortcomings, like, does God really forgive this or that? I've done this or that. Can God really still love me? So that's how my journey started. And just reading through the Word, you understand that God does love you. He loved us while we were yet His enemies. You know, He did all these things for us, which is just mind-blowing to comprehend. But I've leaned more and more into that. And as I studied His Word, I am becoming more like Christ through the progressive sanctification of His Word and through His Spirit to change me. So I can go back and tell myself, like, I know who you're going to be. I know what God's going to turn you into. He's going to make you a new creation. And you're not done yet. There's still more to come.
Yeah, that you used a great theological term there when you said progressive sanctification. So over time, God uses His Word, right, to change us, to chip away the things in us that are not like Jesus, and to help us become not only the person that He's designed us to become, but ultimately the person that we really want to become, right? Even though we don't always know that and feel that. Pierre, just give us some perspective, because you grew up in Indonesia,
yeah,
right? And so you kind of see faith, hear me when I say a different perspective. I mean that from a different perspective ethnically. So how do you see that maybe a little bit different than maybe we would view it growing up in the West?
So fortunately, I grew up in like Christian family. My grandpa is a pastor, so I grew up in church. But then I feel like I know more about like relationship with God when I get out of my hometown and do my study in like in a big city, in capital city, where all my family live in my hometown and I'm alone in this big city. And I remember that I like come to like the discipline of like doing daily devotion when I'm about to like looking for scholarship to come here to the States. So like I failed for 7 times, and then it's not easy way. But then when I read the Bible, one of the first that really speak to me is like, trust in God with your all heart, all your heart. It means like all your heart. Is not in a like, when Cindy talk about like peak or like mountain, it's not only in a mountain, but also in a valley. So like during this time, I know that I have to trust in God. I know that He have a better plan for me. And I know that I lean not to my own understanding, because my own understanding that, yeah, it will be easy, I will get a scholarship and I will go to the state for school, but no, it's not. But then during this process, like during my quiet time also, I found peace. And if back to your question, if I have to say something for myself like 5-10 years ago, like you have to start early. You have to start as early as you can. And as you watch this video, start today, because you will still facing all the circumstances, but the perspective how you see that circumstances and problem will be different, because you know that God with you and God loves you no matter what, and God wanna walk with you through like the journey, that through all the circumstances that happen in your life.
And that is a great encouragement, that you don't have to have it figured out perfectly. You don't have to have the whole process dialed in. Like, that'll happen over time. Start now. That's a great encouragement. Great. Aaron, how about you?
Yeah, so I look at it from the perspective, if I could go back and tell myself anything, it would be just to make that time. I know life comes at us 100 miles an hour, and sometimes it's easy to let that fall to the wayside. And in my early walk, I found that. I faced some sickness and some other things in my family life. But refocusing and always being able to go back to the Word and having that devotional is just so important. So spending just that daily allotment of time just reconnects us and lets us know, like, you know, He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. And, you know, and I love how Romans says it. And in Romans, it says, you know, He's our author and our perfecter of our faith. So as long as we stay connected to Him, He's going to keep growing us and keep making us more like Him. So it's just, I would just say, just to spend more and more time in that. And it doesn't have to be an absorbent amount, but to get in there and read 4 or 5 verses and then just think on that throughout the day. And what's that mean? What's He trying to tell us? Just helps build that relationship and build that faith.
I think one of the things that you said there, when you talk about the importance of, you know, it's not necessarily a certain set amount of time that you're going to spend every day, because maybe God's going to speak to you through 2 verses. Maybe He's going to speak to you through 10 verses, right? But the consistency of time and doing it on a regular basis, because what I think is important is that we see that God has revealed Himself to us in His Word. And in revealing Himself to us in His Word, what He's doing is really drawing us to the fact that He's revealed Himself to us first in the person of Christ. And so those verses that are gathered around Him being the author and perfecter of our faith, the reality is that, you know, that Jesus is better. He's better than angels. He's better than sacrifices. He's better than all those things, because in Jesus, we see the person of God, right? Seen, revealed in the life of Christ. But the only way that we know that is through His Word. So we engage His Word, because in engaging His Word, we have the opportunity to engage God. And it's the God who loves us by sending His one and only Son to die for us, and then to be resurrected, to beat death, to give us the confidence that we can and will do the same as we trust in Him. So maybe if you're listening today, maybe before you jump into the Gospel of Luke with us, maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Christ. And that really becomes your first step. Your first step is to repent, to turn away from your sin, not just your sins and the things that you've done wrong, but the fact that we just have a broken humanity, that we're all born into this world with. And instead of trusting and relying in yourself to somehow overcome that, you're going to place your faith in Christ. And as you place your faith in him, he begins to change you. He begins to do in you what you can't do in you. So our hope is that that process begins. And as we read through the Gospel of Luke together, that that God continues that process of helping you, shaping you to look more like him, to become the person not only that he wants you to become, but the person that deep, deep down inside that you want to become. So I'll say thanks to all of you for coming, sharing your perspective with us today and the ways that God is shaping and changing you, because God's using you all to create an ethos right in our church of doing that. And we hope today's just another step in it. So I'll pray for us and then we'll take a next step. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this expression in the Gospel of Luke, this whole idea that we don't have to live with labels. We don't have to live in categories that other people put us in, but rather, God, we can look to you and what you say about us. And we know that through your word, it makes it so critical in our lives. So God, we are expectantly looking and praying towards this next month together of seeing what your activity is in the Gospels, what steps you want us to take, both personally and publicly, to become more and more aware of your greatness, your goodness, you, the God who can do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or think. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.